This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
It's hard for me not to say anything about my boys because they are my cheerleaders. They are the ones that are sending me the text to say, "Mom, you've got this." And so I just feel very blessed to have them as a part of my life and my story. Before I begin, I have a relative of mine who does timeline things, whatever. And she sent me a letter and said, "I'm going to be sending you a box for you to distribute to whoever wants them. So as you leave, there's a stack of them at both and at both doorways. Pick one up and it's free. Give it to a friend, whoever you may." As I think of a slice of the pie, thank you for coming. It's an honor to have you all here. A verse that comes to mind that I would like for us to read together is, let's read this together. "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" And so in our culture, we are taught many ways of how to love people, right? And the question I would like for you to put in the back of your head as you sit through these next 45 minutes is, how do you let people love you? We know how to love. We know how to serve. How do I let people love me? You know, we cannot give away what has not been given to us. And I'm talking more than just love from your parents. We all have received that, and that is a beautiful gift. How do you let the people around you love you? So that's something to put in the back of your head as you listen. I had just gotten back from Indiana, where I had spent the past 10 days celebrating Christmas, as best as you possibly can when you bury your mom, your last parent, 3 days before Christmas. The past 9 months were spent driving back and forth from northwestern PA to northern Indiana. I lived in such a way that I was ready to grab my bags and leave whenever I needed to. I was at Walmart, rather dazed, to do some shopping, to just become familiar again with life without the reality that I was dealing with. And so I was feeling the emotion of the reality that brings the things that will never be the same. And I meet a friend from the community, and she expressed her sympathies and went on to say, "I need to spend more time with my mom." And I looked at her and I said, "You don't need to spend more time with your mom. Just be present when you're with your mom." Grace is a pastor's wife who lives a very busy life. And so she has church, she has family, and she volunteers a lot of her time. One thing I learned during the 9 months that I kept driving back and forth, if I want to do well with my situation, I need to be present, whether I'm in Indiana or Pennsylvania. When I was in Pennsylvania, I gave my love and energy to Brandon and the boys that were still at home. When I was in Indiana, I loved upon my mom. And believe me, I was fully present when I was with mom. So many precious memories come from those times spent with her. My mom was a pie baker, thus the title of this workshop. So mom, this is for you. We are torn in so many directions, and life teaches us many things that we wish we had known earlier in life. But living life is its own teacher for each of us. We learn from our frustrations and mistakes. I'm naturally geared towards organization and making life work. I spend a lot of time working hard at making life work. And it worked. I felt good at what I was able to accomplish. I loved a challenge, especially when it came to time schedule. I was all about tasks and rhythms. And the older I get, I realize organization is very important. But what matters is how I do this in relationship with those around me. So this is not a workshop on organizing your time. It is a workshop about how to think about organizing our time. Maybe things you should think about before you think of setting out organization for your time schedule. So when we think of our current reality, I would like to think about, for you to think about, what is your reality today? So I want you to begin to think about different people groups you are needing to relate to in 2019. Who are those people groups, and what do I mean? I'm not referring to what those in missions say that people groups are. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the people that you need to relate to. And so, you know, we're not looking at tasks. We are looking at people groups. So think about keeping house is a task. Taking care of children is a people group. Being a homemaker is a consuming task. If you're a single lady, a single lady needs to make a livelihood, so your occupation takes up a lot of your time. Think of that as a task. The people you need to relate to on your job are your people group. Am I making sense there? Okay, so what I want you to do is to take just a couple minutes here and just make a list of all the people groups that you need to relate to in 2019. Okay, I think that will at least get you going and thinking in that you can expand on those. And I send out quite a few emails and texts just to people to find out, so who are the people groups that you need to relate to? I did it to those in that have businesses, single ladies, family business, just a wide variety. I tried to cover a lot of different groups. And I came up with kind of putting them into six different groups. And so when we think about people groups, of course, we have church. And, you know, of course, that should be mentioned first, right? And so when we think about the people group, a people group that we need to relate to, we have the gift of those we go to church to. And that really is a precious gift that many do not know. And so that is that is one people group. And another one is just your marriage relationship. And if I put vocation there, if you're a single, you know, you have that option. Your vocation is going to take time, just like your marriage takes time. So I put those two together. And then we have family that we relate to, and that's a big piece. I mean, we could even divide family just in a lot of different areas, because if you're a young mom, you have little people in your home. If you have if your children are married, you have extended family. If you have the privilege of living in a community where all your siblings live, well, then that's a pretty big piece of the pie. And those in ministry or business is another group to put under there. friends. We have local and distant friends. And many of us don't think about the people group of us. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so often, that's the part that we cut out. And we don't take care of ourselves. And so then we don't have a lot of energy for the other people groups because we forgot that we have to take care of yourselves. We think not taking care of ourselves is humility. And it may be, we might be more dangerous than that by not taking care of ourselves. And so that is a piece that we really do need to think about is, what do I believe about myself? And what was interesting, as I had sent these emails and texts out, I had a friend that said, are you familiar with the Dunbar number? How many are familiar with that? The Dunbar number? Oh, good. I wasn't either. And so I looked it up, and it was very interesting. The Dunbar's number is a suggested cognitive limit to the number of people with whom one can maintain stable social relationships. Relationships in which an individual knows who each person is and how each person relates to every other person. Of course, that stems from the whole social media, you know, and how many people can you actually relate to. And his number is 150. And all of a sudden, you know, I was just like, oh, this makes so much sense. Because with us being involved with Faith Builders, I have so many people to relate to. And so I have, you know, we have 50 students there, 60, 80 staff. Okay, and then there's church. And so how in the world, I mean, I should really spend as much time with church people as I should with institution. I mean, really, shouldn't we? I mean, that's kind of how we think. And I realized, oh, I have 120 people over here. I have 100-some people that I go to church with. I'm already maxed out. It's no wonder. And it's like my good friend told me, that isn't from the Mennonite, said, Marie, you can't do it all. But I was still very task-oriented, and I'm like, yeah, I can. I can do this. But really, you can't. And so just the lights went on with me. It's like, I have permission to just relate to 150 people. That's kind of freeing, isn't it? And so there was just a lot of that, and I think we need to think about that. And so as we think about the whole relating to people, I would like for us to compare people and pies. We all love people, right? Some of you may say, that depends on who it is. Some groups we enjoy more than others, and so if you look at the list that we have, there are certain groups there that you enjoy more than others. Some are easier to relate to than others. Some, well, just plain take work. We all love pies. And some of you, again, may say, well, that depends on what kind of pie it is. Some pies we enjoy more than others. Some kinds of pies are easier to say yes to than others. And some you have no problem to say, no, I don't need pie today. I want to challenge you, do you know yourself as well as you know your taste buds? Do you know why there's groups of people that you may not enjoy as much as others? You need to know why, because then you have something to pray about. And so when we think about that, I don't think we have to believe that we're a bad person, that there's certain groups of people here that you enjoy more than others. It's life. And so when I think of pies, I was thinking about people and pies. And so I, you know, it would be really fun to have you say, put names to the pies. And so I decided, well, if I would want you to do that, then I should do that. And so I did. And so my custard pie, I church. When you think of, when I think of church, it can feel bland because I've had it all my life. And so it can be a challenge sometimes just to enjoy the basics. And yet we need the basics. We need to come back to the basics. To what? Eggs and milk. Paul says something about meat too, and we should be enjoying meat. But and so when I thought of custard pie and the groups, I thought, well, church would go with that. It's very basic, and it can be bland sometimes. Sometimes we get up Sunday morning, and we simply go to church because that's what we've done all our life. I have peanut butter pie. It's marriage. It's delicate. It's crunchy. It is smooth. It is sweet. The flavor is always a bit of mystery until you bite into it. And there are many ways to make peanut butter pie. You can make peanut butter pie out of a box and add some Cool Whip, and it's good for certain groups of people. And you can make peanut butter pie with the pudding made from scratch in real whipping cream. And so marriages are, there's many ways to do marriages. Some like to do it the easy way, and some choose to add crunchy peanut butter to their powdered sugar instead of just smooth peanut butter for texture. And so we love that. Family, pumpkin pie, it's just, you know, once you can get past that shell and just enjoy each other, it's just a yummy goodness, isn't it? It's just something about pumpkin pie. Of course, we have many memories that go with that, with pumpkin pie, too. Friends, pecan pie, it's where you can be yourself. Well, at least that's how it should be. And we could have many descriptions of pecan pie, right? We all need a few nutty friends that we can laugh with. And we need friends that can make us laugh, and we can laugh too. And then we have chocolate pie as a ministry, business, whatever you want to put under that list. Chocolate comes in many forms. It's milk, white, or dark. And most of the time I feel at peace, but there are times I need to walk through some bitter, dark chocolate days. So if you are in ministry, you know what warfare is about, and sometimes you have to eat the chocolate that you don't care for. And then I have apple pie. As for myself, apples are nourishing. I want my life to be one that nourishes others. That means I need to keep refueling my emotional, physical, and spiritual capacities. And so it would just be fun for you to describe which pies you would put to your friends. So when we think of pie, the perfect pie, and so there I have, I didn't put the names on of each groups of people. So each kind of pie, each slice of pie is a group of people, okay? And so here we have the perfect pie. And this is how, and I'm thinking time and relationship. And this is how we would like for our life to look like. But why? Why would we like for our groups of people to all have this, the same amount of our time?
It feels fair.
Yes. Yes.
Know that they're all important.
Yes.
We want all of them.
Yes, they are all important, and we want all of them. Mm-hmm.
It looks balanced.
And yes. Yes, it looks balanced. Yes. Yes. And surely if we're... Christian enough, it should look like this, right? And, you know, when I have in my mind that this is how I live life, nobody can judge me. My motives will always be right because everything is fair. And that's my argument, is fair. But some years, the reality of our lives means that some of our favorite groups of people will have to be put on hold. So I have a pie that has a missing piece of pie, and the reason I don't have a missing piece of pie in the pie pan is because your life is full. You just simply cannot relate to this certain group of people. And so when we think about this, that there are times in our lives, because of the intensity of a people group we are needing to care for, we cannot give to everyone like we wish we could. So maybe our favorite piece of pie is not for us at that time. So when are some of those times in our lives when this is a reality?
You have young children.
When you have young children, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we could spend the next 20 minutes just talking about that. Mm-hmm. What else?
The situation you described with your mother.
Yeah.
Or afterwards with the parent that is left.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when there is an illness or just a situation, Rose said what? The situation I had with my mother. And so there were certain people groups I could not relate to during those 9 months. Mm-hmm. When there is an ocean between you and your family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure sometimes you feel like the only thing you have is one piece of pie.
There could be chronic illness.
Yes, chronic illness, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's just things to think about as we are thinking about life and our reality. Are there anything more that comes to your mind when you think of life like this?
Sometimes it can just be because you're allowing
people
to take over more of
your life. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So you're allowing people to control you. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. Then we have the misshaped pie. And so most of the time, this is our reality. And I would like for you to just take a couple minutes here, and as you think of the different people groups that we talked about, and just put that on your pie. Like, okay, so what is the piece of your life that you're not able to give a lot to? What is the piece that you really need to give a lot to? And I'll go back to this slide so that you have... So just take a few minutes to just fill those in of what you're responsible for. Which group is taking the most of your time? And maybe a good way to start is like, which group is taking the most of your time and which group is taking the least of your time? And just fill that in on your pie there. guys doing okay with that over there? Of your present reality, what makes this reality difficult?
It's requiring a lot of me.
It's requiring a lot of me, yes. And can you say a little more on that? Okay, that's fine.
Actually, I think I can. I have to be very present and very focused in a situation that I'm in that I have to give a lot of my time to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to be present and focused. And I don't know how many of you would have had that, the strong, for me it was very much, it was church, family, in that order, that church has to be your first priority, even before family. Just kind of growing up with that. And that can be really confusing when you look at something like this, because what if my church slice isn't that big? And so it can be confusing, and it calls a lot of out of us. We have to keep asking ourselves, why is this important to me? And that's a question that we constantly need to ask ourselves, is why is this important to me? And we need to know ourselves. We need to know why we don't want maybe to relate to certain people. What else? What are some more things that, what makes this reality difficult? It's something I didn't personally choose. That is so good, yes. It's kind of just my circumstances.
Doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
It doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon, yes. Yes. So, what I hear you saying is you. It's you that makes this reality difficult. You have to decide what is important to you. And I'm not talking about living life that it's all about me and what I want. That is not what I am talking about. I'm talking about who are the people groups that need my attention this year. That's what I'm talking about. So you have to think about, I become my worst enemy, because I would just as soon, if I know I'm always going to have conflict with someone, I want to see very little of them. But so now I have to look at what is my conflict. And I have to deal with the conflict. And now the problem becomes my problem. And so we are our worst enemy in this. And so what you believe about who you are is connected to how you live this out. What are your insecurities? Do you know what they are? So you walk into a group of people. What are your fears? Not meeting everyone's expectations. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. What are some more insecurities that you and I face?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure. Yes. We want... Mm-hmm. Just a simple fear of failure. And we could list. Do you know? Do you want to say what some of those failures are?
Failure to please people.
Yes, to please people. Mm-hmm. You want to be the nice person. And you can't control what they're thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some more of your fears?
Someone will be better than I am.
Ah, someone will be better than I am.
Like being in an underlying competitiveness.
Yes, competitiveness, yes. So you walk into somebody's home, and there are just a natural, they can take a walk through the woods and their house is just decorated. And, you know, and I love to see that, but, you know, when I take a walk through the woods, I don't see anything. Yeah. Just make sure my boots aren't dirty. And I can get jealous about that. Because there's something so beautiful about that. Were you going to say something? Yeah.
The fear of rejection.
Yes, the fear of rejection. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our fear, a lot of our jealousy, a lot of our insecurities come from not liking who God created us to be. And that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? And, you know, I want to call you today. You know, we need to repent from hating who God created us to be physically and emotionally. If we look in the mirror and we feel disdain towards ourselves and who we are as a person, how are we going to go out and really relate to the broader society and to all those groups of people? How are we going to be the hands and feet of Jesus if we have disdain for ourselves when we look in the mirror? So self-acceptance, that doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? It doesn't sound like a humility. It can sound arrogant. If I hate what I see, how am I going to trust the one who created me? How am I going to trust God for my day if I don't like what I see in the mirror? And if we don't like what we see in the mirror, woe unto us that we're going to be okay with somebody else not liking us. And so because we have this issue or this thing to deal with about not accepting who we are, or we take it out on others. We're going to make people like us. I'm going to make Carla like me. And I'm going to work hard. And I'm just going to do everything I can to please her. And I forget that when I looked in the mirror, I was God's image. So who am I? First of all, before we go any further, are there anything you would like to comment on or add? Think of anything more we should repent from?
The idolatry of being a nice person.
Yeah.
I think that's been a big thing for me recently, is to realize, I have this actually as an idol that I find so hard to make a certain person see. Mm-hmm. Carla is nice.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not working for the glory of God. I'm actually working for the glory of me. Uh-huh. In a convoluted way.
Mm-hmm. The idolatry of myself. I like that. Mm-hmm.
I think it can be judgmental about other people's lives, their lives.
Yes. Yes. Did you hear that, ladies? We need to repent from judging how people divide their pies. Exactly. We don't know what's going on in their life. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, the bottom line is, when I'm okay with that pie, I'm going to be okay with yours. Because I've wrestled with myself on some things that I need the Lord. And so as we're okay with how we divide the pie, we're going to be less judgmental. So who am I? You are God's good creation. And I'd just like for you just to team up in twos and just tell each other that. The person you're sitting beside, look at her in the eye and just say, you are God's good creation. So what would it mean for us to look in the mirror, not in an arrogant way, but look in the mirror in the morning and say, thank you, God, I am your good creation. Imagine how differently we would even feel about ourselves. I think something changes within ourselves to know that I am good. And I hope you hear this good as being good because of Jesus, not just a self-centered good. And I'd like for us to look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. And what I would like for you to do, what I would like for us to do is I would like for us to read it together as a group. And I want you to be very sensitive, whatever, alert to every punctuation mark. So every comma means take a breath, okay? And so let's read this together, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. It's in the Message translation. And it's just, sometimes I like to just use a translation that shakes us up a little bit, tells us a little bit something different, and I thought the Message does just a wonderful job. So when we think of who am I am God's good creation, and the thought of how he formed us. So let's begin. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation! You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. And now I would like for you just to silently read this.
You don't have phones, though. You don't have what's in front of you, what's in the world, right?
So what would it mean for us to believe that this is our God? What would it mean to believe this about ourselves, that how intentional God has been with our story? And so when we think about this, and it's almost overwhelming when you look at the verse, body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. Can I look in the mirror and say, what a creation? I can say it for you. I have a hard time saying it for me, you know? And so back to that question, how do I let people love me? And it's as you allow people to love you, you will get all goosebumpy and know that they were the hands and feet of Jesus. They spoke words of truth to me. What a plan God had for us. And as you think of that, you represent his kingdom wherever you go. Wherever you go, you are representing his kingdom. Wherever you are right now, each one of you ladies sitting here is representing God's kingdom. So when you ladies were in Philly, right? You were representing God's kingdom. You were bringing light. And you are God's ambassadors. Ambassadors walk with confidence. Ladies, we are ladies who are veiled, and a lot of us wear plain wardrobes, whatever. You know what I mean by that. But ambassadors walk with their heads held high. They walk with confidence. And we walk in humility. We need to hold our heads high, because you're representing a kingdom. And so when you think of your present reality, I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 7:17. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. So wherever you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. And so going back to the pie, whatever group of people you are with, engage, be present. You are here at Reach. There's many people here when you are in conversation. Engage in that conversation. Don't be worrying about the children you left at the babysitters. Let God take care of them. You are here. Engage with every situation. And so no matter what people group you're with, give it all you've got. And when you meet up again, you'll be able to pick it up. But if you're with a friend and she's worried about something else, it's no fun. It's hard to relate to. And so how I made sense with all the different people groups, when I'm at Faith Builders, I'm given to those people. Those are the people I'm committed to. When I'm at church, those are the people I am engaging with. How was your day? How was your week? And so wherever you are, be present. And you don't have to worry as much about what you didn't do. And so bring yourself to that. And this is why every day we need to have the courage to say yes, Jesus, to our day. We need to have the courage to have a daily prayer to say, yes, Jesus, I will be your kingdom as I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul. I will love my neighbors, the people you have placed in my life for 2019. So I just want to encourage you, be present with whoever you're with. Now go and do the right thing.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.